the activity of it. Yes.
Suppose that
I don't see the officials are really taking the committee seriously. Because the same lady, you did not have to ask him, her, who is she standing for. He just told you that the person is a bereavement and all that. But now we have to ask about the whereabouts of the DJ. And we are told that is a thief. And now he broke a letter that is written in advance. So I have a problem with that, sir.
In fact, I'm just given the letter now. I think that I've just given the letter now that dear Jefferson, I would like to end an apology on behalf of Acting Director General, Ms. Mandy Bafakela Lindi, for her absence during the standing committee meeting on Wednesday. July 29, 2012. The acting general has put off by a doctor due to chest problems. The committee will be addressed by the acting chief financial officer, Monsieur Musiho. Okay. I trust this apology shall be well received. Mpo Mashab, parliamentary officer. I'm sorry for, I just received this apology. You know, which we was in a kind of dilemma, you know.
Sign the letter.
It's signed by the, what's it called, parliamentary officer. Honorable sir.
Chairperson, yeah. Colleagues, thank you very much. Firstly, I think we appreciate the fact that the two ladies are here on behalf of the department. But, you know, these are hearings with the department on their fourth quarter expenditure. And according to the PFMA, the person responsible for the finances of the department is the Director General or the Acting Director General. There isn't a Director General that's been appointed as yet in the department. Now, we can receive a presentation. It could have been emailed to us, you know, by the two ladies. But who is going to answer the political questions regarding underspending, overspending, or whatever other queries that we as a committee may have? And I think it would be unfair on these two ladies to be answering those kinds of questions and be put under those kind of pressures when the act is so clear that the accounting officer is responsible for what happens in the department. And I regret to say that we are being treated with contempt. And while we understand that the DG might be sick or the acting DG might be sick, but you know, this is happening far too often. It happened yesterday, in a meeting yesterday with SAPS, and now it's happening again this morning.
Yes, thank you very much. As you know, I regulated and you wanted to raise it now on the 25th of July and asking that we ask the manager to come and report to us, you know, on the expenditure of the department, because it's a very important department. It's for the functioning of other departments. Now, we receive this report this morning. It says preliminary expenditure report. Now, why preliminary? I don't know. But this is the kind of question I would like to ask the DG, but I've got other questions as well. I mean, there's underspending of some 768 million during the year. So my problem is that, you know, we don't get the DG here, or the acting DG, and as other members have said, you know, it sounds as if this committee is regarded as not being important. Now, we don't want to knock the minister because he's a new minister, and we would actually like to have him here so that we can hear what his turnaround strategy is, what his actions he's taking so that we can assist him. But, you know, at the moment, there's nobody here that we can talk to. So I really feel that, you know, if we are consistent in this committee, we asked yesterday for the police department to come back to us. And if we're consistent in this case, I think we should ask the department also to come back to us at a later date.
Chairperson, yeah, I'm also a little bit disappointed that the people who are responsible to be here, that they are not here this morning. The question is now, must we go ahead, yes or no? Because yesterday afternoon we were very clear on this. So I'm not certain. Thank you, Chair.
Chairperson, my apology for being late, but I want to complain because I was not informed that this meeting started at 9 o'clock. Well, we've got on our program at 9:30, and I wasn't there when the meeting ended yesterday. You remember I left a little bit earlier because I've got a serious headache. So my apology for being late. I was not aware. My program it started 9:30. I'm actually 5 minutes too early.
Now, you're right, Honorable Dr. Sadek. We all thought that the meeting was starting at 9:30, but we got to know that the meeting actually was started at 9 because there were two departments. And, in fact, I'm sorry that you were not informed, because you should have been informed anyway, even if you left early. I apologize for that. Thank you.
I think maybe what I'm going to say will sound like repetition, but it is the concern that is raised by everybody, because I think when you wrote the letter, the letter was directed to the DG, and I don't know the procedure. Maybe he has the right to instruct the liaison of he has the right to direct the letter to instruct the liaison officer to respond on her behalf, to tell us that she's not coming and whoever is representing her will be here. I think it's in that letter. I didn't catch everything you said, but I think the DG, even if the letter can be delivered by the liaison officer, shouldn't take all the responsibility and take it on the on the shoulders of the officials. We know he might have the right to write to us, but I think something is very wrong here, where we are just going to get the presentation and won't be getting a single response in this presentation. I'll suggest that we really not waste time and the lady's time by going through this presentation, which already has a lot of questions. And as you said, it's a preliminary expenditure report. I think we need the relevant people, because we haven't seen this department for a long time, and we know they were our regular customers, and it should have been decent enough for them to start where they stopped and say, we stopped here when we knew that we had problems with underspending. But as from today, this is where we start, despite our under expenditure of 700 and something million. This is where our problem lies, coming from an accounting officer whose problems we understood long. We've been going along with them and understanding their problems, but they sent us the ladies who's even never met. We know that they have the capability, but the PFMA doesn't really encourage us to go on with them. I think we should come to a decision that we get a formal letter from the DG delegating somebody with his own signature to say he must come here, but we prefer to have the DG accounted to us, because we really need to see this very important department working and understanding where the problems are. Because right now we are asking questions in education in other departments. Why do we have to go out when we have the Department of Public Works? So we should be having an accounting officer to come and tell us that this is where we are going to start. And if it's the minister telling us about the turnaround strategy, so let it be there. Thank you.
Well, thank you very much, honorable members. Well, I think that the message is clear. You know, I think that we're really trying to be nice, but I'm sure that would like all the departments to show also the same respect. I think that's the message that is coming across. Omar Mashiro says the invitation goes to the Director General or Acting Director General, but she doesn't see the importance of writing back heaven. Besides that, the parliamentary officer must write the letter. So clearly, I mean, you must understand yourself that you're not taken seriously. You know? And you know, I mean, at this committee, we don't like sending people back. We really don't like sending people back because we understand cost of there's a lot of people, not only yourself, not salaries here. Because they have come specifically for this department. Now, the department, I don't know, I think this was up and after, but how long has this acting EG been sick?
She's been 6 years last week. Last week.
And when is she expected to come back?
We're not sure.
You know, because we have time frames within which to compile the report, because we can't continue waiting for the Department of Public Works to come to present the report. With no specific time, we must compile the report and do another work. We have got a lot of work to do.
I really don't think that this department is taking the committee seriously. This letter of apology has just been given to the secretary here. It's not something that was sent in advance. It's now. And they don't understand the role of Parliament and the role of committees of Parliament. And when you ask questions, then you insist that we must do things according to the book. Some of them, they take it personally. Or they go to ministers and distort what is being said in the committee. Now, I want to emphasize on what Honorable Swartz was saying, that we want to understand that the minister who is there, he's a new minister, was trying his best to turn things around. And the challenges are there, are not challenges that he's going to be able to deal with them within a year. But we need to hear from the department what is really going on there. And as you have said, we really want to see the accounting officers. Not that we undermine the lady who are here, but it's not their responsibility. There are certain things that they cannot answer. And if they cannot answer the questions, we can't force them to answer because it's not their responsibility. That's the only reason why we are not satisfied. It's not an attitude against the department, as some will say, or against an individual, but just doing things according to the book. Thank you, sir.
I think the honored members is well said. I mean, it's nothing against you. You know you're capable. Maybe if the PC was here at the end of the day, he would prevent it. But the challenge is the backstop with the PC and the executive authority. And if none of them are here, it doesn't help us. This department, you must know. I mean, the members, I don't want to repeat what the members have said. It's one department that we have, at least, we understand the challenges that it has been going through. But we want to assist the department also to get out of those challenges. But we must assist the department that wants to be assisted by us. I mean, I can't repeat to what the members have said. Really, we don't want to go to the history as to when did you receive the apology, when did you receive invitation, so that we understand when do people know that they're supposed to appear before the committee. It could be this morning, you know. Ideally, we apologize. When are they supposed to come back, Elton? Members will, our program is very tight. You know, we're trying to find space here. The space that we have is for the 11th of September. And we're still dealing with the fourth quarter report. You know, I'm sure the first quarter report is out already. Next week is the committee week, no? Is it Wednesday afternoon or Tuesday afternoon?
Tuesday afternoon.
Sorry? And you requested to come on Wednesday the 5th, no? At 2 o'clock.
So can I suggest also to the department that can they send us a proper presentation in advance? If it are coming on Wednesday, at least by Monday, end of the business day, you should have received the right presentation.
That it can be sent much, much earlier than that, because the presentation is there, but it needs to be polished up. And already members had already noticed that there was something wrong with the figures, as Honorable Swart was saying. So let's look at your presentation and send it to us, please. Ms. Olsen?
Yes,
Excuse me, I'll come back.
Sorry, Chair. Can they speak to that particular aspect so that between Treasury and the Department that can be resolved here? I mean, why they are they different figures that Honourable Scott picked up?
That's not what we call a do that now. We'll take the presentation when it comes. But I just wanted to apologize to National Fellow that we're not able to take at this presentation as things are for the reasons that they have dispelled out. The department is excused.
Change your flight again. Oh, you know, did you say?
The Department of Women, Children with Disabilities, is expected to appear before us at 11.
11.
They are already here, but with the portfolio committee. I hope that they will be ready to see us at 11. Shall we take then this break and convene at 11?
Yeah.
See, there's a lonely member sitting there right there at the back. I don't know if she's lost, if she's a lost member or what, but if she's not lost, but she's welcome to join us. Honorable Amula.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
And Honorable
Honorable Pamela, you're also welcome. Well, I didn't ask for a relationship because it's not my business to ask for a relationship with other people. Our business is to check if money has been spent or not spent or
welcome, honourable members, to this part of the meeting.
Honourable Kaka,
regardless. Ah, I'm going now when I want some air, always my mayor.
Where are the other colleagues now? Sorry? All members, I think that we'll proceed with those members that are here. We invited our friends, the Department of Women, Children, and People with Disabilities to come before us. I don't know if our communication is working well these days. We normally invite colleagues from the portfolio committee. Though I see a few of them, I hope that we had invited them. But no, I think it's working. So yeah, yes, sir. Yes, okay. Okay, let me then speak louder. The reason we invited the performance, monitoring and evaluation is because of the... No, what did you say? No, we are a portfolio committee for DPMG, so... my apologies. The reason we invited the Department of Women, Children, and People with Disabilities is because of
their spending. Honorable members will remember that we were with them at the end of the third quarter, if I'm correct, where we asked them to work with the Treasury about to sort out or to ensure that the budget was properly aligned with the needs of the department. Well, this is not, I hope that we will hear update on that. But also we thought that we should invite you to say what is it that you're doing in terms of this overspending that we picked up from the third quarter and moving forward. Because if you don't ask, we don't address, it will distort the budget. You know, our budget should be credible. Otherwise, it should be based on the needs of the department. And in terms of the legislation, in terms of money bills, procedure and related matters act, I think that as a committee or as parliament, we have a right to advise the department to structure their budget accordingly. So we're dealing here in front of us with the fourth quarter. And the reasons that are given here are the reasons that were given in the third quarter, that was of appointed staff outside the budget, so the some employees being paid on higher notices, the requirements of the DSP. You know, I don't know, colleague, but my suggestion is that we should take this meeting from the other meeting that we had, where the minister herself was here to explain to us why this thing is happening. I think the right to us is important, but between the department and National Treasury, that we get an update as to exactly what happened. But at this stage, I would like to welcome the acting PD, Ms. Mkhanda, and your team. You are welcome. I know that the minister is very keen to visit, was very keen to be part of this meeting. She called me to indicate that there was a commitment that is clashing with this meeting. She thought that that commitment was happening in Cape Town, only to find that it was in Joburg. But she would have loved herself to be part of the meeting. We appreciate that from the minister. But, DJ, you can address us and introduce your team.
Thank you, Chairperson. I'd also like to convey the apology for the Deputy Minister. She's off sick following a minor car accident that she was involved in. Yes, yes, Chair. I'm with my team, and I'd like them to introduce themselves if it's okay with the Chairperson. Yes.
Chairperson, I'm Llewellyn Lowe, Director of Finance in the Department.
Mzwalisi Katoni, the Deputy Director General on responsible for children and disability.
Sorry, Chairperson.
Okay, thank you. I'm sorry I was late, came in when you already started. I didn't hear about where did you say? Is there an apology? I know there's an acting issue. That's not the issue that we know. The last time on the year, DG was sick. That's what you know. So I want to know where is the DG. And this is something that you know, sir, because when there's acting DG, it's either DG, the DG is sick or DG is what? What is your tender? It seems like you know something or somebody is going to answer that. Where is the DG? I don't have a problem with the acting DG. We need to know where the DJ is. I want to tell you, it is not taking us into confidence because the, all other committees that come in, you want to know where the DJ is. It's a standard question. And with this one, everything that happens. The DG, Dr. Mkize, is on special leave, and I understand that the minister has written to Parliament and all the relevant stakeholders to inform them.
Chairperson, just as a follow-up to that. What does special leave mean, if we can be told? And does the parliamentary, I don't know if there's a parliamentary officer here from the department, can they give us a copy of the letter that's been written to Parliament? Because we are members of Parliament and we should know exactly what's been written. And is the DD, the acting DG, the person that's going to take all the bullets now on behalf of the department?
That's my understanding, but she can also indicate when she started when did she start in this position? But you're right. But normally, the letter, I don't know. We have never received a letter that is explaining the positions of to Parliament. I think that maybe we have always taken the what the department tells us. But the minister, I think that what she spoke to me about was the fact that she was not able to come and the fact that there was the acting DPG and, the acting DG in place of the DG. As the acting DG is attending that she is on special leave. So I didn't want to get into those internal issues of the audit department. Comrade Benjamin, do you want to make a follow-up?
I don't know what would be the follow-up because would we have been told in advance, really. You know us by now. You know what we are going to ask. Nothing that is going to go without us asking questions. And it will be proper to tell us that you know that the DG, the minister has spoken to you, the DG is not going to be here. That's why there's DG. That would be an apology. It's fine. There are more questions like other members, but I think we can pass as the committee. We can talk about it. I'm sure we'll be able to get the letter. But I think that now we can continue the presentation and we give us proper briefing as the committee later on.
Now, I understand what you're saying, Honorable Yengen, but like I said, the minister, we spoke over the phone, she informed me, but the other issue between the department and Parliament, I'm sure that we can always make a follow-up on that. But as you... I'm sure your own question, you preface it by saying that we had problems with the teacher who was always not available. I think on the internal affairs of the department, there's an acting teacher now in her place. I would really wish that maybe we could get a letter from the minister that makes an indication, because we don't go to the details of what is happening, why. Maybe the minister could try to inform us what is happening with the other TG, why there is another, what we call it, TG. But if, as the acting director general saying, there was a letter written to Parliament, I guess that Parliament would have then to inform us formally, if it is supposed to inform us formally or. But can we just leave it as you are suggesting and follow it up and then we'll report at the next meeting? Thank you, honored members. Sorry, you haven't introduced yourself.
Okay, thank you, Chairperson. My name is Ben Mikavela. I'm responsible for the strategy management unit in the department. Thank you.
Strategic management. Okay. And the other members?
Honourable Chairperson and members, I'm Phil Matoba, the Parliamentary Liaison Officer.
Good morning, Honourable Members. My name is Lita Gazinguva. I'm from the Ministry for Women, Children and People with Disabilities.
Thank you. Acting Honourable
Chairperson, just on the question of the DG, because I know you want to move on there.
Sure. No.
At the last meeting, the Minister told us, and we took obvious notes, the department did have problems with leadership and that she had heard allegations of nepotism, fraud and financial mismanagement, particularly in supply chain. She had instituted an investigation by reputable labor lawyers who had started work at the beginning of April and hoped this would assist in cleaning up the department. She had asked the Auditor General to advise her on further investigations over Public Finance Management Act violations. She added that the Director General had been put on 3 months sick leave. Now what I'd like to know is, where this was the end of May, where is this report on nepotism and fraud and things like that? How far have they gone? Can we get answers, either today or from the minister? This is what she told us.
Now, I would like to suggest that we direct this question to the minister. Yeah. Just assist us to direct this question with minister, questions related to the DG. I think that for us, we know that the department has arranged that there be someone acting. But what you're asking for is an update on that report. We'll make a follow-up on that. Okay, thank you. Shall we proceed now?
Thank you, Chair. In my presentation, I'm going to cover just a general background on why we find ourselves overspending as a department, which I understand that has been already communicated in the past presentation to the committee, and I will not dwell on that a lot, but I will also talk to how what we think we could have done differently to avoid where we are right now, and also highlight the things that we find ourselves not able to change, and also take the committee through what we have found in our further analysis. I will also talk to the interventions that we've put in place to minimize the recurrence or to avoid the recurrence of the overexpenditure for this current financial year. Then my colleague will take you through the overall expenditure for 2011 and 2012. As I said, Chair, I will not dwell on this one. However, I'll just state in general terms that the misalignment between the E&E and strategic plan led to us having this kind of overexpenditure, and also the fact that the organogram was finalized much later. Then we used the organogram to appoint people. What we find we could have done differently is maybe we could have deferred the appointments of those people that we appointed a person to a time when we had a proper budget. another reason why we found ourselves overspending is because we had to take over some of the responsibilities that were previously with DELCO, and these related to women, children, and people with disabilities. And we find that probably we could have the condition that in taking over these responsibilities from DELCO, we could have said the accompanying budget should also come over to the department. And in hindsight, we realize that we add in this aspect. The department at some point was also under pressure to reduce the vacancy rate, and this is why eventually we find ourselves having appointed people outside the allocated budget. We've also found that the EMA monitoring processes, Chairperson, were not used effectively to make sure that even though there's not alignment between the two processes, or between the EME and the strategy and the structure, we could have used the EME monitoring process to make sure that we still spend within the allocated budget. We found also, Chairperson, that when we appoint persons, people with disabilities, there's often a challenge in estimating the proper or the accurate figures of costs that relate to their reasonable accommodation. For instance, we would assume that when you appoint a person, you would then need an ordinary laptop, which would cost you around 6,000 or 4,000, right? However, when we have person already on board, we find that their specialized equipment actually costs far more than what we had projected. And this has also contributed to some of our overexpenditure. And we also find that we didn't think of other ways of making sure that once we've appointed people with disabilities, they have the accompanying assistance, such as a guide, for instance, for someone who's visually impaired. So these are the other realities that the department is faced with in assessing operational costs just for the employees that we need in the department. What we find, as a result of what has happened in the past, we find that we're not able to train even within the MTF processes. We find that we're not able to resolve the issue of the overexpenditure or compensation, in the sense that overexpenditure on compensation is not regarded as an unforeseen or unavoidable expenditure, and therefore not able to motivate properly to Treasury that we get this money. However, what we have done to make sure that in this financial year we don't overspend, we're properly monitoring our expenditure on a regular basis to make sure that we shift funds where necessary and we minimize expenditure. We've also stopped appointing, we're no longer appointing people regardless of how critical the position is. We're not appointing people. Instead, we've got the assistance of Treasury and other departments to assist us with key skills such as finance, risk, to make sure that at least the work still happens and the critical areas are attended to. The other challenge that we found is that we made an error of appointing people at higher notches. And how this happened, Chair, was because when we were doing recruitment, we looked for people that had previously done the work, for instance. If within the candidates that are responding to the ad, there's somebody, for example, the CFO, if the person is currently CFO, then you would then assume that they're in a better position to do the work without much supervision. And then come as a lateral transfer from another department already working at a higher notch. So then they'd be appointed in that name. However, in terms of the public service regulations, this is not allowed, and it's one of the issues that are contributing to our overexpenditure. So the budget is done on the basis that you would appoint at the minimum notch. As I've mentioned, Chair, we're busy with the... Yes. That's what we're supposed to do. However, in this instance, we've appointed experienced people at the most where they were. For instance, lateral transfer. You see. So it's not an issue of us taking somebody who comes out of the service or public service and deciding to give them a higher note, but somebody that was already within the public service at that particular note. So I'd like to emphasize that implementing the Public Finance Management Act and the regulations is not negotiable in the department. And however, we've noted that we don't have full capacity, especially in the critical areas such as finance, SEM, and also within HR, to fully implement these regulations, which is why we have gone out of our way to talk to our sister departments to get assistance, to make sure that regardless of our current challenges financially, that we are able to implement the Act. I can report to the committee that we are now monitoring irregular expenditure on a regular basis with a register. As and when we detect it, it's registered. And the intention is that it gets reported on a quarterly basis to the minister as to what has happened. So that we also change the thinking in the department, where people know that if you commit an irregular expenditure, then there are consequences. And we are confident, Chairperson, that this will go a long way in reducing the amount of irregular expenditure that we experience. Last year, our irregular expenditure was mostly due to not complying fully with the triple PFA, like not applying the 80-20 principle. And now we've appointed a director SCM who is experienced in supply chain management, and we are now fully implementing the 80-20. We are also going an extra mile in terms of verifying the service providers before we appoint them. So we're strengthening SCM as well. The last time the department appeared for the committee, we didn't have an audit committee. We didn't have an internal auditor. And Chairperson, I can report to you that in the third quarter last year, in December, the audit committee was appointed. They have sat three times already. And one of the things that they reviewed was the annual financial statement. So the current AFS has been reviewed by the committee. We have also appointed an internal auditor at director level with effect from the 1st of July. Also, I forgot to mention, you said must indicate when I started the department. I started on the 1st of June as VDG Corporate Management. So we have made progress in putting government structures in place, Chairperson, and we're confident that with our regular reporting to them on a quarterly basis, we'll be able to make a lot of improvements as a department. The committee instructed ourselves and Treasury to work together and come up with an intervention with a turnaround strategy, and we have been working with National Treasury. We've put together a draft turnaround plan. It's still a working document that we're still working on and refining, because now they want us to be clear on the figures. If we say this particular intervention is going to cost so much, we need to tell them what is the basis. And it's not a very easy process, because you can benchmark against other departments who have gone on a similar exercise and use that. But eventually the actual figures will be known when we actually incur the expenditure or when we try to get the quotation. We have taken this around, we've discussed it with our minister, and she's happy with the contents of the turnaround. And the main focus of the turnaround is to ensure a clean audit. So as you mentioned, that the department at the end of the financial year did get a clean audit. However, it wasn't a clean audit, Chair, unqualified audit. Unqualified audit, Chair. And given, I know it's not, we shouldn't start clapping hands for ourselves, Chair. However, it's something to be noted. Chair. It is a positive development given challenges. However, there are places of emphasis, so which we are attending to. We, as I mentioned earlier, one of the things that we have done, one of the decisions that we've taken to improve the situation is to make sure that we don't appoint people. With regards to our travel, we are scrutinizing the delegation. If a person has to travel, there has to be a very strong motivation as to what their role is, and it should be based on the fact that if this person doesn't travel, then the trip will not be a success, and it will be wasteful effort on the part of the department. We have also, because we don't have a CFO, we together with National Treasury as part of the turnaround plan, they are assisting us with some expertise. For instance, we have an acting CFO who will come and start with us formally or officially on the 1st of September. However, he's already working with us informally at the moment. And Chair, they've also assisted us with risk management. We had a risk management workshop. They are assisting us with implementing logis, because the last time we were here, we didn't have logis in place. They've been assisting us, and it's a process to implement logis, Chairperson. I can report to the Chairperson that we are at 63% with regards to implementation. And our target is to go live on the 1st of November. The process involves getting the relevant people, so that you are able to have segregation of duties, and also upload your asset register on Ologis. And then you have to buy the relevant machinery, like special printers, to print your orders. So on the 1st of November, we would have implemented all of that. We also added sourced additional capacity. The DG, before she left, she managed to arrange with the statistician general that we get additional capacity there to assist us in these areas, finance, risk, and human resource, because these are the critical areas. If you look at our management report with regards to last year's audit, Chairperson. Currently, we don't have a designated asset manager and financial controller, for instance. However, these interventions from these departments, SSA and National Treasury, are assisting us in making sure that the absence of these officials does not affect the implementation of the PFMA. And now what we've done, what we've agreed on with the audit committee and also with our ESCO, is that the quality of quarterly reporting, both on performance information and financial information, should be improved to enable accurate assessment at management level, so that we can be able to see exactly how the department is doing, where the interventions are necessary. Chair, on this slide, we'd like to indicate that at performance level, the department has been able to engage the sectors to get them on board in terms of what is the department doing, and also understand from the sectors what the sectors expect from the department, what should be the focus of the department, given that we don't have a legislated mandate. And these, to some extent, have contributed to some extent to our irregular expenditure. However, we can confidently say that we have the support of the sectors because of those activities that we've undertaken. We've ensured an acceptable level of visibility, whereas in the past there were complaints that we were not even visible as a department. And since taking over some of the DERCO responsibilities, there hasn't been a vacuum at these structures in as far as South Africa is concerned, Chairperson. So we have really been successful in making sure that there are inputs that are sent. Although there are serious areas of improvement still, however, we've made strides, Chair. we also have partnerships with donor agencies to make sure that we are not able to deliver either because of financial concerns or we don't have the right capacity. Then we partner with these development agencies so that we can produce something for the industry. To this effect, Chapisin, I can report that we have been able to produce a national action plan for children, which is currently en route to cabinet. And from our colleagues in the clusters, it has received a lot of support. So I will then hand over to my colleague to take you to the financial experience.
Thank you, Chair. As it's displayed at this stage, I think even the committee knows that the department has overspent by 22.7 million. I'm going to run through the finance. In terms of our overall expenditure and compensation, we've overspent by 11.3 million. Goods and services, 12.3 million. Transfer payments, we are on par, the 99,000 rand will be explained in a further slide. On capital expenditure, we underspent by 1.1 million, so in total that's 22.7 million. If we look at compensation as a whole, our biggest overspending occurred on Program 1, where we've overspent by 10.8 million. In Program 2, we are on par. On Program 3 with children, we've exceeded with 1.2 million. On the Program 4, people with disabilities, we are a little underspending of 691,000. So in total, our overspending on compensation, 11.3 million, as alluded by the acting DG, that is one of the main causes for the department to be overspending. In table format, Program 1 exceeded by 157%, Program 2, 100% fine, Program 3, 122%, and Program 4, 85%. So in total, the department exceeded the compensation budget by 31%, a total of 131% as per the 100. When we look at goods and services, again, administration, overspending 13.5, Program 2, 974, underspending. Program 3, there's the 582 overspending, and then Program 4, 774. So in total, the overspending of 12.3 million is constituted under Program 1, and I will allude to that now. Table format, Program 1, 176%, Program 2, 94%, Program 3, 130%, and then Program 4, 88%. Total overspending of 28% of the goods and services budget in the department. On the 100%. The main cost drivers, and this is what constitutes to the overspending on advertising, we have spent 6.4 million, catering 4.4 million, communications 3.3 million. Communication is consisting of telecommunication, it's not communication to promote department. Consultant, contractors, agencies and outsourced services was 8 million. Order fees 2.5 million, inventory 2.6 million, and then the biggest cost driver in the department is travelers assistance, and I think the committee is well aware of this, 18.8 million, and then venues and facilities 2.6 million. The detailed breakdown for these expenditures will be available to the committee because it's a lot of detailed information which would have made the presentation a very long presentation, but we will avail it after the meeting to the secretariat of the committee. So that we can highlight what it was for. Transfer payments, we are on par. That is the transfer to CGE, the 55.1 million, and in other program 1. If we look at the slide, we've paid 120,000 rand in terms of leave gratuity for people that have left the department. The detail is there, leave gratuity of 21,000 to Mercedes. 70,000 is a quite. So this is deep gratuity where people left the department that we have out to the various employees. Machinery and equipment, we had a budget of 7.1 million. We have only utilized 5.9 million due to the fact that when the department stopped appointing staff, we also stopped procuring furniture and computer equipment to try to curb the overspending. Otherwise, it would have been even more at the end of the financial year. And then in table format, it was 84% that we utilized in terms of the machinery and equipment under Program 1. Under program 3 looks very bad, 3,100%, but it's only 31,000 rand. And that was because we have centralized all the procurement under program 1. The expenditure was just incurred very late in that financial year. As we said, the main reason for the underspending is the estimation of the needs of the department, as not all the posts were filled, and this resulted into the suspension of procurement. Thank you, Chair.
Sorry, Chair. Can I just add, Luan, can you go back to that slide where you are saying the detail of the expenditure communication? Can I just explain on the slide, Chair? Sorry. I'd like to explain that it's not a very good picture. I accept, and also when I joined on 1st of June, I was actually shocked. But the nature of our work, the nature of our work, Chairperson, is such that, for instance, when we were producing the gender bill, we had to consult with people, and you convene machineries, you in different parts of the country. That requires that you then get a venue. And because we deal with vulnerable groups, in some instances you have to pay for them coming to the event. A traveling substitute, for instance, yes, travel, and then a little bit of catering there. Yes, okay. And then, for instance, with communication there, that's mostly cell phones and landlines. And what we have done, what we have done is to now arrest the situation. We've gone to Vodacom and said, this can't continue. I need an itemized billing, and we saw what is causing the high expenditure. And we said, with immediate effect, you change the packages. And with that, we anticipate a savings of about 68% just on the cell phone. And on telecommunication, we anticipate a savings of about, on landlines, we anticipate a savings of about 26%. When we say consultants, it's just that the standard types of account, the item, they include all of those. But we're talking about, like your catering, I'm not catering, the events, you know, when we then have the event. Luellen coming there, sorry.
Thank you, Chair. In terms of consultants and contractors, consultants, first of all, we have to appoint an asset management consultant in the financial year, so that assets can be, due to the fact that we've moved from the presidency to our new building. In terms of asset management, we had to get something on board. And then in terms of contractors, as the other one just alluded, events management, this is where you have infrastructure, hiring certain things, like for the National Women's Day, the National Children's Day, there are certain infrastructure that must be put in place. And in terms of that, you have to get certain contractors on board. The outsourced agency fees, that was also very early in the beginning of the financial year, where we had certain contract workers on board to strengthen finance supply chain. Up to a point where we could appoint permanent positions, and that was also arrested, I think somewhere in November was the final payments for that. So in terms of contractors, the biggest expenditure was for event management, where you have these people on board. Also on catering, 4.9 million, biggest chunk of the 4.4 million, the biggest chunk is the catering for the National Women's Day during Women's Month. That was something of about 2 million, if I'm not mistaken. And then venues and facilities is also linked to the events management or to the events where you have to maybe source an event as part or a venue or facility as part of the event. Thank you, Chair.
Just to indicate that with the current interventions now, that 80 million figure should go down because we are interrogating the delegation, we are monitoring. There are people who have to play a dual role, for instance, when Minister Ventien travel.
Kekan, are you there? Okay. I see Ms. Mbula.
I'm not asking a question. I just want clarity before questions are asked. When the DG is saying they are monitoring the number, the amount will not be the same. I'm sure when they are, I would think that they have a target amount that they say we don't want to exceed. It can't be just they are monitoring. What is their target in this monitoring process that they don't want to exceed or they want to achieve, so that we can judge them when they come back on that target amount? Because yes, and you just can't say we're monitoring and you know we're working on it.
In fact, you're saying you're asking a small clarity question. It's a big question, that's what they wanted to, because it's the main question in the world that you're asking, you know. In other words, I think the question that is being asked is, in terms of the exercise that we said that should be done between yourselves and the National Treasury, have you quantified this? Are you repackaging those kind of things? I think that's what was the call of it. It's the main question. It's not the specific.
I don't think it's big. I thought that they have the number. It's just that they're focusing. I mean, the amount. I'm really
okay.
Asking questions.
Cover it.
Thank you, Chairperson. You know, it's like the department, the way they're explaining how they spend the budget, they are event-based or ceremonially-based in terms of dealing with their budget. And it becomes a serious challenge because me, in my own understanding, I thought the department is supposed to be making sure that other departments are complying in terms of issues of children, women, and people with disability. But what I pick up here is to say they are the ones doing the things. Hence, I can see in other departments things are not happening. And they are talking about that. The reason is because they deal with vulnerable groups. Exactly that one. Because you know what kind of people you are dealing with, you are supposed to budget it accordingly. That's one thing that you should know, to say, this group that I'm dealing with is just a normal group. This group is general specialized, so you know that one. So it means when you plan, you need to plan accordingly. And I pick up that they are not really planning. They were thinking around these things. That's why they're doing. And in terms of communications, they talk about that how Vodacom was touching them. How long did it take them to realize that? To say the way they are being charged it's a serious challenge. And then I can see they're dealing with consultants, contractors, outsourced services. Chaplain, that's too much English. What really happened here? We need sexual things. Because people will come, I've seen it, people coming and say, and I'm expect, I've got degree in disability. That person is not disabled. Comes and tells you what to do, and you pay so much money. You know, I'm just saying to say, this is, and I'm also getting skeptical, and they say, they will give us a breakdown after the meeting has gone out. Why was it not brought here so that we can check it, the breakdown, what does it say? Because now here it's just a summary without a big breakdown. How do you know exactly what is happening? I'll ask other questions as time goes on. Thank you, Chairperson.
The question that you're asking is still related to that. Around the packet.
Thank you, Chair. Just looking at these figures and these accounts, it makes me think of my own business, you know, where I spend much more than what I earn, but... unfortunately, I've got a bank manager, and he comes every now and then, and he phones me, and he says, hey, what are you doing? And stop the check, and you know, the check doesn't go through. But in this case, the checks go through, and the money is just spent. And that's irresponsible. It's totally irresponsible. Unfortunately, water under the bridge, you know, we're looking at the end of the fourth quarter, or the end of the financial year. But you know, the question that Oliver Yangeli asked is very pertinent, you know. We now have a budget for this year, and they are saying to us, they're telling us that they're monitoring. are they really monitoring, and what does it look like for the first quarter, for instance? Are they within their budgets, you know, of this financial year? Because, you know, obviously we can't have a scene like this continuing. So, you know, it's unacceptable. So please, can they tell us, you know, it's no good telling me it's, I'm monitoring and it's going well, but, or it's, we are monitoring, but is it going well? This is what I want to know. Are they staying within their budgets, and you know, is the internal audit committee, is it in place, is it working, is it, you know, is it checking everything, is it doing what needs to be done? And I'm pleased to have to hear that they've got a CEO from Treasury, and I just hope that we will have the necessary control in this department. Because, you know, if we sit here next year as an appropriations committee, and we see something on the line, you know, we're just going to have to act like a bank manager and say, sorry, up to no further. We're not going to give you any more money. And that's the end of the story. Because how could you start appointing people, you know, but you haven't got the money to pay them? You know, you've got to buy furniture. I believe they've got cell phones. They don't have ordinary telephones. So they all on cell phones. But, you know. Anyways, I think enough said here, but, you know, the actions for this financial year was totally irresponsible, and I just hope it will be much better this coming financial year.
Chairperson, thank you. Chairperson, looking at this expenditure trend for the goods and services, and seeing that the consultants is also quite heavy, of course, I want to know from the department in the recruitment, in the employment strategy, do you find difficulties in, because, you know, in the finance division, you need to get people who also are well experienced and capable to exercise the PFMAN and all these different territory regulations, etc. Can you just elaborate a little bit more on the problem of your personnel, the problem that you have, you know, for not at present the people, because you've got an acting now from Treasury, for not, you know, filling these vacancies completely. So if you can just know what is the problem that you are really dealing with, you know, maybe you have personnel, but they are not the personnel, there are more Indians and less chiefs and experts in certain equities. So if you can just elaborate on that a little bit more, so that how you foresee to minimize the amount on consultants as we go forward. Thank you.
Another thing, say you racist.
Thinking about the chiefs. The chiefs there.
Okay. I've got your name. People went to do the other week.
Never fear, chair. What I'd like to find out from the departments, maybe not related directly to the slide or not, but the role of public service and administration in approving organograms, how they get funded, and how did things go wrong. Then also, how does a department secure an overdraft facility? How can you pay out more money than you have got budgeted for? How does that work? Okay, and please, it's no sin to spend money, but it's to spend it with some value for money. You know? And also, the role of Treasury in their area monitoring of the department, if they are their systems not working properly to pick up, or how does Treasury assist the department in ensuring that they spend their money correctly?
Thank you, Chair. My question is, how many changes took place in the upper level of the management committee in the last 6 months? Yeah, in your top structure. How many changes took place there? And then the second thing is, there, I think that it will be very interesting to see what will happen in the first quarter report that we hopefully will receive in the next month or two.
Some of our questions were already asked. Chair, my one question is,
this department has 9 departments. And and my question then is, how does 9 departments complement the duties of the department? Because if they draw in their 9 departments, which can also add to their duties or to their need, especially their employees, they will definitely not sit with the burden of financing a national ministry all by themselves. And I'm very much against these one-day events that are definitely not making any impact on our women. And then on the 23 million that was overspent, what will happen now? Will this be deducted from the new financial year's budget? Or what will happen? I'd like to know what will happen there to that 23 million. What do you think about the government intending? Thank you.
No, I just wanted to ask one of the chiefs that the COCO was put under administration, Section 100. One of the reasons that it was created was the fact that they spent money they don't have. I don't know what jabs about. I'm just saying that the POPO was put under administration because the government had to spend more money than what they have, they committed so on. Now I'm wondering whether, as I was listening to and I was looking at the figure under the 50%, I was wondering whether this department does not qualify for Section 100. If they don't, they could explain why not. Just to understand whether there is some consistency in terms of dealing with the budget. So that one out of the way.
Yeah, I just want to understand quickly just the,
you know, with respect, I don't understand the explanation that says we are having officials from the department, other department, to second them to our department, but then they are settled with a bigger bill that we now have to pay as a department with a second bill. I don't understand what it means. Now, I don't understand whether you can have a CFO, I mean, government structure of payment is the same. So I probably want to be educated a little bit more about this argument that you end up with 5 years because you have 7 officials come from the department and you do not plan for what you end up with. Does it mean that the planning and organism of the department is not the public provision for certain posts or certain skills that is required in the department? So, because I don't understand, if you want a CFO, and you don't have a CFO, you have to get one from the department of COP. You get a CFO that will come over to do the function of the CFO, and that CFO is already in the particular category in terms of payment of government. So there isn't any of that. Now, that's the first question I just wanted to check. You know this 18 million of the traveling and subsistence. I didn't quite understand the explanation of it. I know that the DDD attempted to answer that and then they had to call for this from the other person. Now, I don't know who is these people that are traveling to that file out of control the traveling and subsistence.
You know, it reminds me about the previous year's question. The previous year's question, I had asked the same questions in the previous year's another expenditure, and same questions and same answer that said, no, we are managing this process. It is not going to run off control. Take our word for it. Now, I'm on the board here. I'm still here. I see the consistency with that. And I hear the reassurance that next time around, it is not going to be like this. 2 years in a row, it is like that. I don't know how I'm going to be convinced to say, well, the third year is not going to be like that. Maybe if you could tell us a little bit more about, unpack this 18 million, who actually is traveling? Who is traveling up to that cost? Besides the question that has already been asked by my colleague at the back here in terms of the events and events and expenditure for events. I mean, can have a development that is run like that. The mainstreaming is a way to go in terms of dealing with it, and other costs, other departments carry the cost for particular functions if it's coordinated. Now, what are the consequences that the Treasury should explain to us of the over-expenditure of this nature? What's going to happen? I also want to know, maybe Treasury will explain to us in terms of the Section 39, what are the consequences? If you have said, surely at the end of the day, the main payer of the government is the Treasury, the department. Surely they're seeing when something is going wrong. Yeah, they see when the checks are signed and the payment is done and the tally, there's nothing on the tell. So I want to know what they have done in trying to manage this. In if they have done and laid out the law, the parameter for compliance, whether that parameter of compliance was indeed complied with. Otherwise, you said that this is what must now happen, and that department has in fact religiously followed that line that was dictated to them. What are the implications, DDG, for what you call additional capacity from the states, South Africa? You mentioned something like the previous DG had before leaving, has made this arrangement, so we continue that. What is the implication for it? What are the implications? Are you having implications in terms of lost time? What are you paying? Or is it free of charge, this additional capacity that we are talking about from the state of Africa? Your strategic plan, there is something about government procedures in terms of telling somebody what you're going to do with the money that you want. And you've seen where you put your plan, your strategic plan, your annual plan, and say, this is what I'm going to do. And you convince the Treasury that indeed you're going to buy this with this money. How is it possible that that was not submitted but still continue to receive your what was supposed to receive in terms of money? Has that been submitted at the end, the strategic plan of the department itself? Then I want to understand from Treasury as well, how was that possible for that to have happened without having a strategic plan when you deal with the issue of budgets? So, Chair, all in all, let me say that how are you going to manage this parling, the administration, this program called administration, is a very tricky name. In it, you pay lots of things. How are you in looking forward going to manage that particular expenditure in that continue to spiral out of control, even though you continue to give assurances that it's not going to happen, this is not going to happen? How are you going to manage that in the future?
Thank you very much.
Thank you, Chairperson. Lots of my issues have been taken by other colleagues. But I just want to say the reality of the situation here is that this department comes with a lot of baggage. And we have responsibility as a committee to decide what interventions are we going to suggest to deal with the past, the baggage, and what kind of vision do we have for the future. And maybe something that the acting DG needs to tell us about, as well as Treasury, because three of my colleagues have mentioned Treasury. The last time we met in this very room, Treasury and the department were to have gone out and sat with each other and spoken to each other face to face, woman to woman, and come up with a strategy to move forward. How are we going to take the department forward? And I think we require at this meeting, I'm endorsing what my colleague has said, we need to know what was the outcome of that meeting. Treasury needs to tell us. While I'm with Treasury, Treasury also has a responsibility here. Because we're looking at budgets. I've dealt with budgets. Honorable Calder Blom has dealt with budgets. When you look at organograms, as Honorable Snell has said, they have to be approved by either the PSC or the PSA. Did they look at the organograms? Did they endorse it? Did they sign them off? Because if they sign them off, they are equally culpable for what is happening in this department. Right? But sir, you know, what flabbergasts me is the blatant non-compliance with Section 39 of the BFMA. Blatant non-compliance. Because it says it so clearly what the accounting officer's responsibilities are. You know? And even when they look at the expenditure in terms of the main divisions within the vote, they must ensure effective and appropriate steps are taken to prevent unauthorized expenditure. I mean, none of this has been done. None of this has been done. So the whole issue of that report that the ministry is dealing with, we need to get to the bottom of this. Because what I agree with Honorable Swart, a lot of water has flown under the bridge. We need to know who has caused that water to flow and what's going to be done to reverse that situation. That's the past. But you know, what this reminds me of Honorable Swart's business, you know, what the department has done here, it's like in my business. I'm going to buy a coach for $2.5 million. We work out where it's going to go, how many trips it's going to do, who's going to wash it, who's going to fill the diesel, who's going to do everything, who's going to change the tires. But only to realize that when we rent to roll, we don't have a driver. No driver. Right, I can employ Honorable Savoni. So the most important aspect in the department is financial management. And we still don't have people in that area of financial management. But we've got people who are paid above the notch and all sorts of things. I mean, we're doing other things. You don't wash the bus if it doesn't go on the road. It's not going to get dirty. So we'd like to know who are these other people that have been engaged at the higher notches. Right? Are they really, really necessary for this department to function? Or do you need the heart first, which is financial management? And my last question, Chair, is this whole thing about catering. 2 million rand for one function. You know, I came across catering when I was asking for quotations in the department I ran. They're charging 1,500 rand for a plate of food. Now, you can go to a 12-star hotel. You don't pay so much, even drinking the best wines. We'd like to know who was this catering company that was engaged, who in the supply chain considered these tenders, and how many people were catered for on that particular occasion. I think that's information that we need to know. Because these small things, when they add up, they come to the big situation which this department finds itself in. Thanks, sir.
I've noted Comrade Kekana, Comrade Mashiko, and Comrade Yengen.
What the Honorable Stellan I don't understand is that their bank manager is so difficult because just their income on empties every month is much more than what
No, but let me allow with other honorable members to come in.
Thanks, Chair. What is surprising, I'm actually a member of the portfolio, and I've been in the committee from its inception. What is surprising is, generally speaking, this type of questions that you're asking here are also popular with the portfolio committee, whenever we sit and we look at finance. And while I'm hearing some of the things for the first time, I don't know if I was very sick or not into that
sense. The Lamula is where she's nodding
ahead as you're
speaking.
Oh, okay. Thanks for borrowing your eyes, Chair. Some of the things we hear is that the fracking, the parties and things we hear here, so it is an advantage, I think, to double the attendance of meetings because what you don't hear in your own committee, if you come to this one, you'll be fortunate to hear the truth. This is what the truth is told, like the Truth Commission, and all things are revealed here. But you know what is surprising?
No, this is a church. People can confess.
What is surprising is that when the ministry was established, we were all happy, because we all had issues of women, children, disability are so big in this country. For example, just on disability, United Nations declared South Africa as early as 1998 that South Africa, they call that a declaration, that South Africa has the worst conditions of disability, living under conditions of poverty in the whole world. And that is why when they opened a desk and in the president, we thought this would be highlighted because it is right there. It started there, it came up to, it was part of this ministry, and we thought things. And you look at children also, children who are living under conditions where there are no parents because children are dead. A 9-year-old or a 14-year-old taking care of other children in the informal settlement. And you ask yourself, and the NGOs that carry reports say, this is such a big thing. In this country, a very high percentage of these children are growing under those conditions where they don't get love, where they're not provided for, where they live with God's mercy. But ultimately, you ask yourself, where is this country going? If children are growing like animals, are we really going to stabilize this country? So when this ministry came, we thought it was going to address those all these issues, because ultimately we try to build a better future. And now this is happening, and it comes very clear when we are here. Well, yeah, I would suggest that we all happy that we are hard on this ministry, because we think it must do things well. It must monitor and make sure that all ministries address issues of women and children and disability, because then we'll have a better hope for the future. Mothers are also very important, you know. They are the backbone, in my opinion, of any society, because children grow close to mothers. We are all taken care of mothers. Yeah, okay, but ultimately, what I'm appealing for? What I'm appealing for is, number one, the thing of being under administration like Limpopo, I would suggest if there are other means, you should consider those means of correcting the ministry. And lastly, that, to be honest, as a portfolio, we have asked all this type of questions, and we thought things were improving, because in the past for disability, you got a budget of $2,000 for a project, $1,000 anyway, but if you budget $2,000 for a national project, what is it going to do? But now we think things are improving, and we'll just say, please, let's use other means, because the ministry is so important. So while you're asking questions, consider that this we think is a very important ministry that needs assistance. Don't throw it away.
Throw the baby with the water away. Thank you, Comrade Jekka. Later, I'm going to
Thank you, Chairperson. I think I'm also covered by a lot of speakers. But my concern is, since we started seeing this committee in March last year, I think, the very first time when we were in Good Hope Center, we requested reports. The organogram, breaking down of their this expenditure that I'm talking about, they are from their previous budget, I think, advertising details on outsourced services, because left them as they are, and then again we ask for a lot of information from you people, but we never ever receive anything. Report on your traveling, the breakdown of all the, whenever you come here, we ask for such reports. And the aim is to understand why you are overspending and why you are not spending in other departments, or why those other programs don't have money because you have money in other programs. Why you shift money
to support programs that did not have any other enough money. But I think our pleas as a committee that is very responsible for passing the budget in the House, we don't get that cooperation from this department. We would like to know what stops you from honoring our requests, if you can tell us that. And then the other issue we discussed with you is not the first time we talk about this Women's Day event. So if you can tell us, because we don't know whether the money is with you or the money is with Art and Culture. And if the money is with Art and Culture, I think that you will have to adjust your budget, your details about your contributions to this event, because it means the money will be coming from Art and Culture. And that will show us how you spend on this, because you don't carry the whole financial activities of the event. And I think, and on, you taught us about SSA, and at the same time we know that there's technical assistance unit in National Treasury. I don't want to join those issues. I think it is covered by all those who mentioned it, but we know that you, National Treasury, has a big role to play with you within this department. Yes, I think it's not, because even in their successes, they tell us about the consultations, other sectors. If we had an analysis of all those many consultations you had, because those were successes, because they have financial implications, we would also request that someone has, we've already mentioned that we need detailed reports from you, and I hope the sectors you consult with will have to know, and the financial implications of all those sectors. As you say, you travel a lot. We consulted in Mudimele. We had this and spent so much during the hearing of that man. That's an example of what you need.
Well, thank you, the honourable members. But you know what worries me is that I thought the DG was saying the last time we're here, this is what we have done. But now our line of questioning is going back to some of those issues that we raised, for instance. I mean, what is it? My notes here. Where are my notes? No, my notes. Yeah. Sorry. No. You take one round, Mamufolo. Now it's my turn. You're going to be shot?
Okay. Thank you, Chairperson, but I did say that I'm going to come for the second. My question is to say, I can see that the budget has been overspent and it has been exhausted without achieving any. When I look at it, they were talking about gender mainstreaming strategy. I can see it was not done. The monitoring and evaluation system, no implementation, gender barometer, you know, other basic training. They budgeted for those things. I want to understand where did that money go to? Training program for skills for women in construction, waste management cooperatives. I don't see those things. So it's all that I want to say today. Because they were budgeted for what? Thank you.
Now, the issue that I was saying is that we will allow the department to respond and National Treasury to respond. But to me, the question that we are really asking here, not in so many words, is the responsibility that we gave them to engage. I think it's asking for that report in essence, because all these questions, this way, I mean, when I listen to the questions that are being raised here, they emanate from the fact that, as Honor Mashiko said, when we first met them at Good Hope Center,
they told us that that draft budget was a thumbsack. I think Dr. Mkhile is what he said, that it was a thumbsack budget. And that's what resulted to the situation that they are finding themselves. That's why we say to them, what is your short, what you call, DCW something so? Yes, you got a long name, you know. That's why we say to them, and National Treasure, go and sort out. If you have to repackage some of the programs, package them such that you come back, we don't have this underspending and too much overspending, you know. And I thought that maybe also when the minister was there, the pity that she's not here today, I think she tried to explain some of the questions that, I mean, that I hear today. But I think that at the end of the day, it's really up to us. Things like while there is traveling, I also listened to her speech during the budget, you know. Why is this different? Why is this issue of traveling the issue? But Comrade Mariko is right to say, if we asking for information, please provide that information. For instance, there are questions that Honorable Matagana and Honorable Singh that we're asking, some of the detailed questions that I don't think that for now you readily have those answers, but you can send us those answers. But there are questions that you can respond to immediately. I would like you to respond to those questions, except those questions that really require a detail that you can respond them, you can respond to them in writing. You know, I'm not sure if this question of advertising for 6 million was asked. You know, I think that was 6 million for advertising. It's I think that it's huge. I'm not sure what kind of, what to call it, advertising that was being done here. But can I ask Ms. Wilson? I know that you, I don't know if you are the person who is responsible for this, but I know that you, who else used to come here from Pebble? Who? Sorry? George. Yeah, but if it is yourself, you're able to respond to the program, maybe I should allow the PG first and come after him.
Can I?
Excuse me?
Can I go first?
You can come first. You're welcome.
Thank you, Honorable Chairperson. Thank you, Honorable Members, for the questions. I will try to address the questions and also give an overall view
yes.
of what we've done since the last meeting. Where the department presented the third quarter expenditure report. I think the first question that I want to address is on the monitoring, and there was a question asked whether the National Authorities Monitoring System is working and whether they can pick up if the department is going to overspend. I can assure you that our monitoring system is working. We did pick up during the year that the department are going to overspend. It's required from each department to give us monthly drawings, and then we monitor the monthly expenditure against the drawings. And we can pick up on the financial system what transactions is going through on a monthly basis and what is still going through on that particular month. When we picked up that the department is going to overspend, we did have a meeting with the department indicating to the department that you are going to overspend. If you spend like this on a monthly basis, you are going to overspend. We also have letters where we notified the department and the minister that the department is going to overspend. I think we got the feeling from our side that the department's intention was to overspend, to actually show National Treasury that the budget is not in line with the department executing its mandate.
You think that about the intention? Its intention?
I think so. I might be incorrect, but I think the warning sign from outside, the department didn't There was nothing that the department did differently when we gave them, had a meeting with them and had a letter saying to them that you are going to overspend. On the strategic plan, I think there is a misalignment between the allocated budget and the planning for the department. We have attached an addendum to the expenditure report for the committee, and in that report you can see for each program there are things the department planned for the year that was not achieved. So I think the planning is there, it's a retail plan, but the spending is not according to the plan. So as you spend, you don't make sure that there's performance according to your strategic plan. Just to say on the organigram, the establishment is approved by the DBSA. And I think there's a difference between the approved establishment and the funded establishment. Because I think when the DBSA approved the establishment, they also notify the department in a letter that it can only be implemented if there is funding for that establishment. And I think that the department implemented the organigram or the establishment without ensuring that there's proper funding to implement. I think just to give a view on what we've done since the last meeting. After the last meeting, we have established a task team in National Treasury consisting of members from Public Finance, our Legal Services, and the Office of the Accountant General. And the purpose of the task team is to come up with two things. We did a diagnostic study of what is wrong in the department, what went wrong, and what is the recommendations to fix it. We also did benchmarking studies to look at the department, similar departments that started without while not establishing some of legislation, but they managed to carve out a focused mandate, and they could spend according to their budget. We started over the small budget and then it increased over time. And I think we wanted to share that experience with the department to say that this is a similar department and this is the way they conducted their business to make sure that they spent within their budget. We have compiled a detailed report where we have identified 8 areas the department should focus on. It's about a 6-page report, and the report is currently with our DG and with Minister Sanko, because this report is also going to the Minister of the Department, where we talk about identify certain challenges, we have certain proposed solutions, and also who can the department use to assist the department in terms of the implementation of the plan. And I think this is a document that we want to present to the department once it's signed off by our DG, where we want to check whether all the areas that we mentioned in this report is actually part of the draft turnaround plan of the department. Because I think there should be a checklist to see that all the things that we've identified overall, that is actually also part of the intervention turnaround plan of the department. I think in this whole process, we did not do this process on our own. We had interactions with the department. We had 2 meetings end of May with the department, the 25th and the 28th of May. And it was like a fact-finding study that we did, which we also included in the report. In the third meeting, the minister was present, and the minister also presented a presentation to the task team. I think that we are quite far off to basically ensure that we bring the department on the right path. And I think the relationship between us and the department is working well, working together, and we're ensuring that the plan that the department is going to come to implement is a credible plan. We also are going to make use of members from our technical assistance unit to assist us in terms of implementing the plan. Thank you.
Ms. Wilson, I'm not sure if I understand you well. We have established this as team at National Treasury. You're providing this report. You had a consultation with the department. But it looks like to me it was a once-off consultation. I'm not sure if I follow exactly what you're saying. And, that's a response to that.
I think it was not a well-off consultation. I think we had formal meetings with the department. We basically say that we had a set agenda, but I think throughout the development of this plan, we had consultation. I mean, our budget analyst is working with the department on a continuous basis, so I don't think it's a one-sided plan. I think there was continuous engagement, but we had a few formal meetings where we sat with the department, with the management, and we sort of had a fact-finding session for them.
I'll leave it to the committee, because I would have expected that some officials from the department are part of that task team, so that you don't do it alone, because if you do it alone like that, we'll come back next and find ourselves in this kind of a situation. And our advice was that go and work together. Together you present this report to us. You know, if I can just remind all our members, we struggled to get to public works and Treasurer to sit together, because they would work separately. If one would work there separately and separately and come back to report to us. And until they sat together, have a clear what you call a meeting, so that you understand, because my what called a problem is that from day one, the department said they admitted that the budget was not realistic. That's why they are overspending. But it's not in line with the requirements. But I agree with you that there's a number of things that they have done that are incorrect. So that, because what we said when we gave you the mandate to go and work there was that we went by MTBS, when it is tabled, to see a difference. We as honored members, we're not going to see the difference now with the current budget, everything is like this, we're not going to see any difference. The overspending will continue, things will continue as they are, more or less. But if, as MTBS, we are told that next year, when the next 2013-14 budget it is tabled, then this is the risk factor. Or your whatever recommendations you're making, or repackaging, or whatever, or some of the programs. But clearly, if it is the way it is currently, we're going to find ourselves next year still asking the same questions. I would like you to summarize, not to go to every question, to summarize the question. Some of the ones, I'm sure some of the responses have been given.
Right, okay, thank you.
Yeah, but there might be some questions that you want to respond to directly.
Okay, I don't want to...
before, DG, point of before.
It's something that, not my hand has been up, but the issue that I'm chasing what I wanted to say is that the questions that have been posed by my colleagues, all of them, and the questions that I have are the same with what the members have asked. And these questions are not new, all of them, without exception. When the minister was here, she gave the answers, same answers that we are going to hear. But what we said, I want to go back to what we thought would be the solution, and it has not seemed to be a solution, because the National Treasury and the department would have said immediately after that meeting. Instead, we have asked them to come back and report to us, both come with one presentation where they are telling us that this is how they are going to change, this department around, and this is how they are going to deal with the over expenditures and all the problems that the department has. But then if it has not happened, we are not going anywhere. And I wonder if the acting DJ, there was somebody else who was seated. I mean, I've seen three different faces sitting there. It was the DJ at some stage, and then it was somebody else, and now it's lady. And all of them are answering, are going to answer, they were answering the same questions, the same things that we're asking. Yes, these are questions that we've asked to the gentleman, that we asked to the DJ. And to date, there is no answer. Now, I don't know really what is that you want to achieve as a committee. We are all just that we just tell the National Treasury and this department to come and present in front of the committee. We give them date. No, we don't want the date. We are going to give them the date because it has not happened. It must be the day because there's nothing else going to achieve out of this. It's really a waste of time because it's not, it's not fruitful discussions. We're not gaining anything out of these discussions. We're just going around the battle. So I think we must even ask if we want this into a general. You're saying that you find it difficult for particulars to sit with National Treasury. We don't want National Treasury alone. We don't want that department alone, but we want them to sit down and tell us, more especially the Treasury, that what is that they have agreed with this department. So that when we charge them on what they have both agreed as to how this department is going to go forward. I don't know whether there was an answer about Section 100, really, it is not the right person to answer that question. It might be a right question, but it does not fall under her responsibility. It's so stubborn enough to answer that question, really. So, please, that's my suggestion.
I think that's very helpful. In fact, it's a pity that when I responded, before I gave to National Treasury, I raised some of these questions. Maybe I didn't want to be seen to be not opening the committee, I mean not to be allowing the committee to ask questions, but exactly what you say, that we have had this experience. But I think you're reminding me, I also wanted, Honorable Tran will come back to you, I also wanted to respond to this question. I see Ms. Wilson didn't want to respond to it as well about Section 100. I don't know, Tagana, I think that I hear what you're saying, but my understanding of the issues in Limpopo and what you call, and in the department, I think they are not exactly what you're saying. I think that you are not very accurate exactly as to what was the situation in Limpopo, what led to the Section 100, what is the issue here. I think the issue here, Honorable Ramatlagana, as you would remember, is that even the minister, the former DG, not the former DG, the DG who is on leave, special leave, indicated to us that the issue was from the inception. Things were not, the budget was not what they call it properly structured. As the budget was, as the department was initially under the president and the transfers, that's why we said to them, go back with National Treasury, sit together, and we'll come back to us and say, now moving forward, we want a proper, what you call it, a realistic budget for the department. But before I allow you, I will allow Honorable Ramatlagana. He wants to make an intervention to help us. Really, Honorable Ramatlagana, I would really ask that we should take you from what Honorable Yingen is saying. That's what has all the way forward. Thank you, Honorable Ramatlagana.
You are now entering the area of censoring me, Chair. I'm not sure what to say. No, but here I wanted to agree that perhaps in the interest of time,
and accuracy and detail. Not much that justice that the acting DG will do in the time available. But perhaps some of the questions that we have asked, those can be responded to in detail in writing. That we agree that we would need a meeting where this plan that the frank response from Treasury, I find it quite frank, actually. And they come back, then we discuss jointly around the issues of solutions that is going to be suggested based on the past team. Because at the end of the day, and what support is going to be given to the department if you're not taking the route of this section that I don't want to mention now because of, I'm in trouble with you. I want to agree with the Honorable Yengeni that let's take that route. I think it's the most productive way that we could do as a committee at this stage.
The task team that the NGO, that's what Todd are talking about. They formed the task team, but the department is not involved, not part of the task team.
No, Chair. My understanding was that there was going to be the task team that is going to be established. That is because the department must have an input in that process. So if there isn't, then the task team can't work without the other body making input into that process. But ultimately, the somewhere when it comes to budget, Treasury is always having that its own position, that it takes an independent position. And I think this process here, we have agreed that we need to have that in joint arrangement. I will want to suggest that we do that. That's the only way that we can succeed. Or the department and Treasury can succeed in it.
Chairperson, thank you. I think the department has reported on a turnaround strategy, but that turnaround strategy should not be presented to us until and unless they've consulted fully with National Treasury. Because you can still come and say you want another 58 people to be employed, but there's no money. And secondly, I think, Chair, seriously as a committee, you need to negotiate time for us in the House so that we can prepare a report on this department and debate it thoroughly so all members of the House would know what is happening in this department, what needs to be done. Because even the executive need to know whether or not they took an appropriate decision to create a department in the first place or whether these functions could reside elsewhere with the other departments. But that will all depend on the outcome of the negotiation to take place. Whether this department with so many problems needs a minister and a deputy minister. I mean, those are the kind of issues that we as members of political parties need to put on the table in the House. Thanks.
Jefferson, I think I do agree. I also want to caution Treasury to say, you know, when you work with vulnerable groups, the budget changed totally. I agree. I understand why they've overspent, because we become rigid in how we deal with things. So I'll caution Treasury to say, you can be rigid and say other departments are working there. This is a very different scenario. The department that are saying, children, disability, women, and they are complex, as three as they are, very complex. So when you make a plan, the plan that I was questioning, the plan that they already the DG, the minister must sign, and whom must sign for that plan, that they've done a treasure. I would suggest that plan that is supposed to be signed can just go back and so that the other parties can be part of the plan and guide. Because seriously, why we are overspending on these issues is because we don't deal with complex issues. We want to be rigid when we deal with issues. And these three vulnerable groups, they are very complex, and our budget should be in such a way that it's going to cover that. Otherwise, if our budget is not going to cover that, and we become rigid. Because as Treasury, that's what we are, you know, it's either black or white. If it's not those colors, it can't be red. Then we are going to be challenges. They are always going to be overspending. Because now they won't see eye to eye. So those two parties, they must sit together
make sure that they come with a very clear plan that when they report to us, like today they are reporting, they report same thing. Thank you, Chairperson.
I forgot something, Chair. Also, I don't think it's the same faces that there's one gentleman who's missing that I know who talked to us. Yes. Now, the meeting that we had with the minister, she was really, really, I don't know how to, the right word to use, but she told the meeting that Treasury does not consult her at all. Yes. So, she really, she was expressing herself. She was really a bit upset about the whole thing. So, I think you must go back. And as the community, we do not agree that you decide alone without the minister and the department. As we have said, we are emphasizing the point that you must come, you must sit with that department and your ministers so that you come and present this way forward. I'm sure the Minister of Women, that minister will be prepared to come as he has given the apology that he should have wanted to be here. So that we all understand from the community side, from your side, from the department side, that this is the way forward. It's after that time, Comrade Ramadakane, that we can think of that, not now, it's too far, it's too early. Thank you.
I would really like us to emphasize the point that the reason why you formed the task team and everything is because the committee said, go, you two, go there and work together. We would really like you to work together. So that when you compile the report, it's a report that is owned by both teams. It's fine, you have the expertise, it's fine, but I think you should share it with the department. We don't want you to work alone and say to the department, this is a lie. You know what Honorable Mafolo is saying? It's a feeling with most people that not until I was rigid. But I think that rigidity must be within the framework of ensuring that the other people are assisted. We would like you to really do that. And we said that I would like us to keep our time frame because we said we want a report before they were to call the MPBS is people in the house. We must see the report so that we should know what to expect in the next budget. We will give you the date of we'll convey to you when you want this report. Sorry? Well, there is a word called it here. Today is the 29th of... and when are we leaving? We're here. Oh, okay. Okay, there's a date here. I think it's in the program, Comrade Mashiach, on the 19th. I would like us to stick to that date, 19th of September. There's a date already there in our program, on September, yeah. Let's stick to that one to call a date. Anything more you want to say, Mr. Wilson? Thank you. Anything you want to say, Agnes? Excuse me? No, you're not responding to anything. We're talking about the way forward now. I'm not a comrade.
Comrade Chair, that we need to know when are we going to get the answers, written responses, long before the meeting of that you have mentioned in the program. So we need to give them a date when to respond to the questions.
And with the date, thank you very much, Comrade. 2 weeks, the questions that were supposed to be answered, but it can't be 2 weeks. Today is it's Wednesday. I think that by, by Friday. Yeah. Now, some of the questions, they will group them together because they were really same questions, you know, they will be grouped together, but they have, because they could have answered, they could have responded to the questions, but I think that 7 days time, I, we're really being very generous. By Wednesday next week, we should have received the, this comment is very nice.
On the issue of the 19th, I think it has become clear that even if we phrase it that we are going to discuss the expenditure of the department on the administration program, our deliberations here have shown that when we met in May, the issue was for them to form a task team, and I think the task team is going to look on all those issues. Although we're mostly focusing on the administration program. So as I'd like the both departments to understand that the report will be based on what the findings of the task team after looking at all these aspects that came up today that needs the attention of the advice from National Advisory and their input on what they can do and what they can do. I don't know whether I covered everything enough.
No, you're quite right. I think that I also like the terms of reference that Tellary was saying they were looking at. I think those terms of all that you're saying is that it should be the product of your, what you call it, discussion between the two teams.
The time frame, Chair.
Sorry?
Time frame.
No, we're saying
the 19th. Yeah, the way forward, yeah. No, I'm saying when they come, it should not be just general discussion or the findings. It must be findings and the way forward with
yes.
Time frame.
Oh, okay. No. Sure. When, did you want to say something? You don't even want to say thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, sir, for that intervention.
Well, thank you very much. When is the next meeting now on Tuesday? Okay. By the directive of Dr. No.